Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. This past weekend, I was tagged in a Facebook Live video from a woman named Tracy Reed, who used to be a consultant for Paparazzi. She was talking about their Paparazzi Super Spreader event that I had been reporting on TikTok. And she was spilling some other tea. And she had a lot of good things to say. And so I reached out. And I said, hey, would you like to be on the podcast? And wouldn't you know it, but she said she would. So Tracy and I sat down as soon as we possibly could. And we had a conversation. I really wanted to make sure that we talked about this Paparazzi event because it's happening right now and it's really upsetting and it's really sad. And I hope that people listen to this and make the best choices for themselves when deciding whether or not to go to their MLM conventions that are coming up. This episode isn't to cause controversy. I'm not going to debate topics. We're just simply talking about what happened at Paparazzi's convention and what has happened since. I will give you a content warning that we do talk about COVID deaths in this episode. And so if you are sensitive to that material, I would advise you to listen at your own discretion. I will say that it is a good mix of somber conversation and lighthearted joking about the MLM outside of the current circumstances. So I really hope you guys enjoy this. I wanted to get it up as soon as possible since it is currently happening right now. And Tracy was so great. We had a really, really fun time talking, and I think you guys are going to really love this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. This is a special bonus episode because it's something that I think needs to be talked about right now. But we're going to sort of pair this with talking to this woman as well. I would like to welcome to the show Tracy Reed. She was with Paparazzi. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the Super Spreader event that's happening right now. So without further ado, Tracy, please take the floor.
Hi. Well, thank you very much for inviting me on the podcast. I appreciate the work that you're doing. And if we can play a little bit of a part in helping save someone from wasting their time and effort on a multi-level marketing company, I hope that that's what we can accomplish tonight. I want to start out by giving some background because I think that most people are surprised about who joins MLMs. People are not just ignorant, stay-at-home, uneducated folks who are tricked into a business model that they have no idea what to, you know, how they got there or what to do when they do get in to make themselves successful. And I know a lot of people fall into that trap, but there are also people who join who do have an education and who do have other jobs and have been successful and look at it as an opportunity to make money. And when they get in, they're told, yeah, sure, this is a legitimate way to make money. This is a great product. And if you believe in it, you can go as far as you want to go. We've got all these millionaires. Here's all the people we're going to hold up to you. These are people who've made it. You certainly can too. I have been an attorney for over 25 years, which makes me seem like a really old bag. And I hate to say that out loud, but it's true. I specialize in tax law. Before I was in Paparazzi, I had my own consulting firm. I also write books. I'm a published nonfiction author for my legal practice area and a published fiction author who writes romance novels. I have a lot of jobs. I've had a publishing company. I have done a lot of things in my life, but one of the things that led me down this path to being a Paparazzi consultant was I decided 5 years ago to pull my kids out of school and put them in a homeschool program. And part of what I thought would be great about homeschool was one of the things I had done in school was a junior achievement program where we learned how to run a business from the ground up. You came up with your own concept. They worked with you on marketing. I thought, you know, this is a really great opportunity. But homeschool students here in Kentucky don't get an opportunity to really participate in their school's organized activities. So I thought, I'm going to run this myself. I'm going to get a little business and we're going to turn it over to the kids. We're going to work with them. We're going to show them how to run it, how to market it, how to be successful. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, no harm, no foul. It's just a little business, a little investment. I spent $299 to buy a Paparazzi accessories mid-level kit. I did not know the person I bought the kit from. I had just seen an advertisement for it, and I was looking for a little business and thought, this is a good entry-level business. My daughter was my main, I guess, hope for success with it. She was 13 at the time, and she liked jewelry, and I thought, we're going to try this. This is something I can relate to my kid with. So we got our kit and we started showing it to our friends and family, and we marketed a little bit. We went live and did all the things all the other people we knew were doing. And we started selling it. She was very excited. So I thought, okay, she really likes this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Everybody's going to buy a kit and we're going to have a little competition. So my husband got a kit. My son got a kit. I got a kit for my daughter and I had a kit. And we started running a little family competition. We would compare our ideas about how we were going to market. Like my son wanted to go to a festival. He bought all this jewelry. He had a budget. He bought all this jewelry. He was going to go and sell it at this festival and make this big turnover. Whereas my daughter wanted to go live and sell it on social selling. And my husband was just trying to, I don't know, keep up with the kids. So he fell off right away. Like he just kind of fell out of the mix. He wasn't really, even though they say they have men's jewelry, first of all, my husband's not a big jewelry wearer. And second of all, they really don't. It isn't very unisex and it isn't very appealing. So he was done with it. My son went to one festival, decided that wasn't worth his time and effort because it was a whole lot of setup and a whole lot of stress, and he was done too. So there's my daughter and I. So we're having a competition and we're in this for, I started in September of 2017. In January of 2018, they announced they have this contest at Paparazzi, that if you meet all of these criteria, you can have one of their big fancy necklaces named after you. So my kid's like, oh, we're going to try for this. We're going to do it. So we decided to combine efforts. We started going live all the time. We were talking to people about selling the jewelry, buying the jewelry, join our team, do all the things. Well, I won one of these top name necklaces. So I'm the Tracy 2018 from Paparazzi. Yeah, I won, right?
No way.
I was such a good little papa. I was such a good little papa girl that I won this contest. I'd only been in the company for like 3.5-4 months and I won.
Wow. What a very interesting story so far with you trying to teach your family and have this competition and like how, I mean, this is how MLM works is the frenzy, right?
But so, here's where it's interesting. When I won this contest, I got a letter from Paparazzi's compliance department that congratulations, you won. But by the way, did you know that it's a policy that you can only have one named consultant in your household? Only one person in your household can be a consultant. So all these other people in your house, they have to be canceled. I said, okay. So I thought, well, I guess that's fine. I mean, no big deal, right? My daughter will just work with me. And I guess to do the accounting, we'll just do it separately. We'll just do separate accounting. So you'll choose your pieces. I'll choose and it'll be fine. Okay. So their accounts are all canceled and we're in one account. So I won this necklace. I go to convention. My daughter's with me. Get paraded around a stage, get a big award. I get big crowns. I win all the things.
Wow. That's okay. So, how did you feel standing on that stage with all of that at that moment?
Proud of what my daughter and I had done together because we had started from scratch and he hadn't had any experience in retail at all or social selling. I thought we've really done something here. We've really accomplished the goal we set out for. And there's my kid. She's so excited and so proud. I'm like, we're doing all the things. And we really did not recruit people to our team because our goal was not that. Our goal was selling. And all the awards that we won were for selling the amount of jewelry we sold. I didn't have a big team. I didn't win awards for that. And I didn't have a monthly rotating check. I think I got a couple $100 a month, which is not a lot compared to what a lot of people who recruit get. And it was something. I did have some people under us. But our whole goal in putting anybody in a team with us was we showed them exactly what we did and they all sold too. I have people that opened retail stores. I have people that went live all the time. set up at booths, set up at festivals. I had people who were subcontracting spaces out in hair salons, nail salons, vintage clothing stores. We all had a plan to market this jewelry. It wasn't that we were buying what we couldn't sell. We were all just selling really well because we all had a strategy. And that was my whole strategy. They had me on videos for years doing survive on sales, SOS. That's your strategies, SOS, survive on sales. I was supposed to be the poster child of paparazzi.
Wow.
So, and I tell you this whole story about how we started out, how we had the multiple accounts and then, you know, the success that we achieved. So the next year, we were dragged across the stage. And I say dragged because you aren't told ahead of time you win anything. They announced a new sales level for prizes. If you hit 150,000 points in personal volume, and 150,000 points in personal volume was 75,000 pieces of jewelry you had sold in a year. But selling it is not really true, because really it means you bought it. Okay. Because that's the thing that people don't understand about paparazzi. You're expected to buy all your inventory from them and then resell it.
That's how LuLaRoe is too.
That's the hook there. So they tell you you have a replicated website where customers can get on your website and they can purchase from your account. But what you'll find on any consultant's replicated website is the leftover jewelry nobody wanted, because consultants get on every day at 3 o'clock and they buy all the new stuff out. So there's only old things there, only old things that don't turn over. So you know, if you want to be successful and have all the quote unquote hot pieces, you have to get on every day and buy. And I did. I mean, I did every day.
Wow, so that's incredible.
Yeah. We had this new sales level named after. There were 10 of us who had met that sales level, and only one person did better. They had two new sales levels that year. And it was, I hit that. I was in the top 10 consultants in the country, not 10%, 10 consultants in the country. Then we won a vacation. Oh, we got to go on this vacation. We got to go on this cruise ship. So the paparazzi hired out a whole cruise ship, and all the consultants that had reached a certain level won their trip. I got taken to Las Vegas. I got a shopping spree. Of course, they give you the money and then they tell you how to spend it. You have to be on camera spending it. You don't get to actually buy. They take you to one mall and tell you must spend it there, because if you don't use it, you lose it. So you have to buy whatever you can find in that place. And I'm a plus size person. There was hardly anywhere for me to shop, and I'm buying purses I don't even need. I bought my kid purse. I was trying to buy stuff to spend this money on camera, because you can't take it with you. Then they make you give them the receipts so that you can't take any of it back and get what you really wanted. So that was an interesting experience.
Wait,
then
what?
I went on vacation. Oh yeah, they take your receipts, so you can't return anything.
What? That's insane.
Yeah, they take them. They take all your receipts. You must turn your receipts in at the end of the trip. You must. You're required. They give you a Ziploc bag with your name on it. That's how you have to turn them in. It's very fancy.
Why do they care if you return it and something else later?
Because they write it off on their taxes for marketing. That's why. Because you aren't allowed to, you know, they have to get the benefit of it. So we go on this vacation, this cruise ship, paparazzi, and my daughter's with me. This cruise ship that paparazzi rented out for all the consultants. So we're on this cruise ship. We get to a port where you have to take a tender from the ship to the shore because the boat can't dock. So we're with a group of people, one of which is a man who has Lou Gehrig's disease, and he is in a motorized scooter. So the Norwegian Cruise Line employee tells him when we get up to take our turn to get on the tender that he can't go. He can't go because he can't take his scooter. And we're a little dumbfounded. We're like, I'm sorry, what? He said, you can't take this on the tender. And he doesn't speak English as a first language. And I just state that because at first I thought I had misunderstood him so we can't get on the tender. Then how do we get to shore? Well, you can't go. I said, okay. So this is an American cruise ship. Yes. Okay. So there's such a thing as called the Americans with Disabilities Act. You are not permitted to refuse service to this man. You must accommodate him. No. So then they called security, they called the purser, and they're refusing to allow this man off the ship. They wouldn't let him off the ship. So finally I tell him, you have to accommodate this man, it's the law. They go get a push wheelchair and tell his wife that she can take him on this push wheelchair, but they'll be renting it to her by the hour. I said, no, no ma'am, no. We're not paying to use this wheelchair. his scooter came apart in 6 or 7 pieces. We offered to all take a piece on it and reassemble it on shore. No, they wouldn't let us on the tender with the scooter. So this is all like crazy, right? This whole conversation is just nuts. You're thinking they're not letting the handicapped man off the ship. They're not. They're not letting the handicapped man off the ship except in the push wheelchair. So finally, the man is crying. Not his wife. She's furious. The man is crying because he's very embarrassed that this has all been done to him. I said, okay, we're going to take this push wheelchair. We're going to push you all over this island. And when we get back on the ship, ooh, heads are going to roll. I think heads are going to roll. Okay. We get back on the ship. It was almost the second to last day. We get back. Before I'm even home, I have a letter from paparazzi in my email that I've been suspended.
What?
I've been suspended for having a negative attitude at a paparazzi-sponsored event because I was nasty to the man. I said, first of all, I wasn't nasty. Second of all, I was insistent. And third of all, I cannot believe I write this back to them. I cannot believe that you're telling me that you are defending the cruise line for violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. I said, I have it on film. We were filming it with my daughter was filming it on her phone. They said, well, we demand to see the video. I said, no, I've already turned it over to the Department of Justice. We've already filed an Americans with Disabilities Act violation. Like, all the paperwork's done. I said, if you want a copy of the paperwork, we'll let you know. I said, but I find this repugnant. So I got canceled. I got canceled. So they said, if you read the policy and procedure manual that states that you'll have a positive attitude at a paparazzi sponsor event, this is your last warning. And you understand that if you do this again, you won't be reinstated. And I said, okay, I read the section. So I guess that means I'm reinstated now. Okay. A month and a half later, I get another suspension letter. I get another suspension letter. It says that it's come to our attention that you, in a video where you're selling paparazzi on Facebook, where you're selling paparazzi, that you are sharing the screen with a compliance canceled consultant.
Oh,
and I said,
what?
I'm sorry, what? A compliance canceled consultant. It was my daughter. So this is 2020 that this happens. 3 years ago when they told us she can't be a consultant anymore if I win this prize, everybody's account has to go. So 3 years, $275,000 in jewelry I bought. 3 years later, they couldn't cancel me over the Americans with Disabilities Act thing. So they canceled me for having my daughter in my video.
Because years earlier, her account had been terminated because you had too many accounts in your household.
Correct.
So now she's out of compliance. And because she was in your video, you got terminated.
But the part that is astounding about this whole story is she has been in every single video I've ever done to sell jewelry. She has been on every trip with me as a registered attendee at every event paparazzi ever allowed me to have a guest at, including a corporate grand opening for a brand new building they built where she's being hugged and kissed by the founders. Oh, we're so excited. We can't wait till you're 18.
So of course she is.
For 3 years, they let it go on, but that's what they canceled us for officially. So now we're banned for life. Hashtag banned for life. Very proud. Very
hashtag
proud.
Hashtag banned for life. Me too. Hashtag not paparazzi yet, but maybe after high this five. One.
High five. Banned for life.
100% and, high five.
$275,000 later, I had 150,000 pieces of their jewelry in my basement and I got canceled. But before they canceled me, I had won a prize where I was supposed to get an exclusive piece of jewelry that I got to design, released to the entire company that only my team could sell, took it away.
Oh,
I had
man.
A piece that I was allowed to request from a retired piece of jewelry that they were never going to sell again, that I got to choose from their entire history of paparazzi and bring it back, that my team got to sell exclusively, took it away, didn't give it to my team, didn't give it to me. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that prize would have been worth. Taken away. So I am a recovered multi-level marketer who was very upset to realize after all the hard work and years of effort that we had put in building a business for a company that did not care whether we did whatever we did for them. It was only to make them look good. And as soon as we brought up any area where they might not shine, we had to go. So I learned a lesson. my kids learned a lesson. We all learned quite a lesson, but it was at quite an expense. And I'm still trying to sell it out of my basement. And it's, I've been canceled since February of 2020. I'm still selling the jewelry to try to get rid of it.
Wow. So,
yeah, we are not big fans of paparazzi.
No, not me neither. Fan. I'm also not a fan of paparazzi jewelry at all, especially even more now after hearing your story, and even more after what we're going to talk about shortly about what's happening. So you didn't even get to choose to leave. You just were basically told, oh, like, you're done.
Which is fine. But interestingly enough, because I've continued to tell my story, when things come up that are bad, someone always reaches out and lets me know what happened. So during paparazzi's convention, I had a friend who has MS and is on a walker. And this is somebody I actually know. It's not just some stranger. Her name's Leah Fleischman. She walks with a walker because she has MS. Her walker was taken from her at convention because they said no walkers were allowed into the event area because they were blocking the flow of traffic. So they took her medical device from her and refused to return it until the conclusion of the event in the arena. So during that time, she fell down, hurt herself, soiled herself. Really, it was terrible what was done to her. But the people on the scooters and the electric wheelchairs this time, they were taken on a special elevator to the front row, but no walkers. Scooters, okay. Walkers, no walkers.
What?
Right? It makes no sense at all. So I had done a video just telling people, if you still work for this company, consider what would happen to you if at any point in your life you needed a medical device and someone just took it from you. That you paid for a ticket and expected to walk into an arena, make your way slowly but surely to a seat, and you had your medical device taken from you. No one assisted you to a seat. The seat was nowhere near you when your medical device was taken, but you were given a hang tag and told you could come back and pick it up at will call. I said, imagine how that would make you feel. And I said, imagine what could have happened to you. And all these people are upset. Everybody's, you know, beyond. And I said, yeah, that happened to her. And she was on the video and she talked about it. Yes, it was me. It happened. It was terrible. Okay. So then we find out 2 weeks later, all the people with COVID, all the people started passing away, unfortunately. One of the girls this year who won a necklace like I won, this big Z prize where you're one of the named people, she's on event in the ICU right now because she had to go to convention to get her prize, but caught COVID. The founders are in hundreds of pictures on everybody's social media wearing no masks. There were people who were sick when they came, wrote all over their social media. They were ill before they arrived, but showed up anyway. There was no requirement to show that you were either vaccinated or that you had a negative COVID test. And the city of Las Vegas had a mask mandate in effect, and it was not enforced. Now, people keep coming on to my posts and saying, but they were enforced. I was told to pull my mask up. I said, well, that's great. It was enforced to you. There were 22,000 people there. I don't think there is a system alive that could keep 22,000 people compliant. It just shouldn't have happened. So we've had a very interesting week full of consultants getting on our page and telling us all that we're just crabby and have sour grapes because we got fired, and if we had been there, we'd have been at convention too, so we're hypocrites. And I thought, okay, you can say all that. I can't answer whether or not I'd have been there, but I can tell you that my family's been in quarantine for about a year and a half because my son and I both have an autoimmune disorder, so I can tell you we wouldn't have been there. Can I guarantee it? No. But I can tell you likely no. But the biggest error in judgment I have seen so far is that paparazzi had a convention. But secondarily to that, they are not acknowledging that anything has happened. In fact, they are, according to people who are giving me information, they're suggesting to all the elite consultants that they let their teams know that they should take down any pictures of themselves unmasked at convention because We can't have negative publicity. We can't have negative publicity. So we're not going to give anybody any evidence that we didn't follow the guidelines specifically. And all these people who got COVID, they could have gotten it anywhere. They've already taken down the profiles from their replicated websites of the consultants who passed away. They're not making any public statement about it. They're not saying that they're sorry, but they did have an upcoming event in October where the people who won that prize where I got the shopping spree, they're no longer going to have them come because the danger of COVID is apparently too strong. But it's too late now because there's already at least 10 people dead. Jeez. And hundreds more sick, hundreds.
Yeah. So for anybody that's listening to what Tracy just said, and is going, wait, what just happened? Let's go back to the beginning of August. So the very beginning of August, I believe it was the first weekend of August.
Yes.
Paparazzi decided to just throw their yearly conference in Vegas at the MGM Grand.
Yes.
Despite the Delta variant, despite people saying, hey, this might not be a good idea, and despite other MLMs deciding to once again go virtual, paparazzi said, nah, we're going to just, you know, see what happens.
And here's the interest. They offered zero virtual option. They asked, there's a frequently asked questions page on their own convention website. It says, will there be a virtual option? Absolutely not. If you had a ticket, now the tickets were sold months ago. Okay. Back when it might've been, we were all on that, maybe on the upswing, it was going to perhaps happen safely. And the tickets say non-refundable. Okay. They say non-refundable. People understood it was non-refundable. If you got COVID or any, it specifically said, if I have COVID, can I get a refund? No, tickets are non-refundable. So if you decided that you were going to be a responsible human and not come and bring an active known COVID case to their convention, you didn't get your some people said $245. Some people have said $275. Let's just say 200 something dollar ticket back. Didn't get a ticket, can't have a refund, and it's not transferable. So you just lose out on your ticket price. Okay.
Yeah. That's the sunk cost of MLM, yeah. Right? Like either show up or don't. That was really interesting because I saw that too. No refunds at all. No other option other than coming.
And you have a ticket and you don't show up, you have to pay them $50 as a fee because they had a bag there for you and you didn't pick it up. And if you don't pay them the $50 within a certain period of time, you get canceled and lose your account.
Okay, so hold on a second. So someone told me something about this $50 fee. I thought it was because if you still wanted your swag bag, you'd have to pay $50 for and then to mail it to you. But what you're saying is if you don't go, not only will you not get your refund back, but they will charge you a $50 fee for inconveniencing them by having a bag for you there.
Correct. So this, they've done this for years though. So the vacation I was talking about that we had won on the boat, a girlfriend of mine had an emergency appendectomy. She could not come. She was in the hospital. She had to pay back the cost of her cruise because she'd won her ticket. She won her ticket and didn't pay for the cruise, but she had to pay them back the cost of her cruise ticket because they had reserved a room for her, even though she couldn't come. She had to pay them back somewhere between 200 and 400. I don't know the exact number. It doesn't even matter. She had won the cruise. She had qualified for a free ticket, but because she did not come, emergency surgery, has all the paperwork, no excuse. You don't show up. You had to pay back the cost of the ticket, even though it was free, because you said, yes, I'd like to come, and an emergency occurred.
That's wild.
It is wild. They're
Tracy,
wild.
That is wild.
They are the singular most, they're just this most selfish, most ridiculous. The other night I was sitting, and I'm not an overly religious person, but I was thinking that the Christian 10 commandments, and I know everybody's Christian, but the Christian 10 commandments are thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. They're really just the 10 commandments of, if you take out God and put in paparazzi, that's their policy and procedure.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's
pretty gross. I mean, MLMs are cults. So right. I'm not surprised that you say these things and the behavior we're seeing is very cult-like. You don't come, you don't get the money back, and you're going to have to pay us more. So you better be there. I'm sure you guys used to hear that sort of stuff too. Like, you better be there. I'm the one that pays your paychecks. I know what you can afford. Like, just ridiculousness. It's a total cult.
It's pretty horrible.
So they decided to have this convention anyway. And that whole weekend, we see all kinds of photos of convention goers wearing masks around their chin straps, taking photos.
Or no mask even on that. There's so many of them where they didn't even have a mask in the picture. Meaning it wasn't even below their chin. It was not even like, you couldn't even yank a mask back up on your face. You couldn't find it to hook it on your face.
And I saw people that had masks on that were like lace and mesh and like not actually with the jewelry masks. On
them. That was just decoration. The mesh with the, with the diamonds. And they were quite fashionable in their disregard for a mask mandate. But you know, if the owners of the company are walking around with their faces completely naked, why would you assume that you had to participate in a mask mandate just because it's the law in the city of Las Vegas? It doesn't apply to paparazzi. No. And that went into effect, I believe, July 31st, which was before the convention began. And paparazzi put out a statement on their website that stated they would follow all CDC guidelines, contacted us, called us names, you know, posted horrible things on our social media, threatened to kick our asses, threatened to sue us. I mean, my kid is 17 years old and somebody who's a millionaire from paparazzi threatened to kick her ass and then sue her for using her name out loud, for stating her name out loud. Although all we were doing was identifying her from a picture she posted on her own social media where she was wearing a face shield, which is not a mask.
But I'm sure it was a public photo too. And I'm sure
she was, and this is the worst part about it. She was holding, she was hugging one of the consultants that passed away and had posted a post about how sorry she was that the woman had died. So this was a picture of them at, convention where she's hugging the woman who's passed away with a clear face shield over her face, not a mask, but a face shield, which is not a mask and does not meet mask mandate requirements. And we said, okay, but you wear a mask. She's like, don't say my name. You can't say my name. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You can't say your name. What are you, Beetlejuice? I'm like, are you gonna pop up and say your name three times? No, but she's gonna quote unquote kick our asses and then sue us because her goons wear suits and she's got nothing but time and resources. I thought, so you're gonna spend all this time and money talking, trying to distract. First of all, let's distract from the fact that you're hugging a dead woman. Have you been tested for COVID? Because even if you're vaccinated, you can actually get COVID and people with the Delta variant are becoming ill. So instead of wasting your time running your mouth, why don't you go get swapped for COVID, first of all? And second of all, are we just going to not talk about the fact that you were at convention? She got COVID at convention. She and her husband are dead now from the COVID they got at convention. But you love your job. And oh, the best was she said, I didn't encourage anybody on my team to go to convention. Everybody's an adult. They could go, oh, so you're an elite leader, but you didn't tell anybody to come to convention on your team. Sure. Because we know how MLM works. We don't ever try to tell anybody in our downline to do anything. We don't demand that they buy things to make us look. We don't demand that they show up at events so we can have a big crowd of people for a photo op. No, that never happens. Of course, you're absolutely correct. I must have mistaken you for somebody else. I'm so sorry. Pardon me, madam.
Exactly, right? I love that people tagged me in your video from Friday night, your Facebook Live, and I'll link that below so that people can see it. But they tagged me in it and I was watching it again today because I love it.
I lost I cussed.
It's okay. It's okay. It's
salty. If you watch it, it's salty, girls and boys. I lost my cool. I was very upset.
It's okay. You're allowed to be salty. You're allowed to be spicy. It's okay. Vanilla is kind of a boring flavor nowadays.
Okay. All right.
I love though that you called paparazzi criminally irresponsible because
it's gross.
It's really gross, right? So like we said, the first week of the month was the convention. The second weekend, we started seeing consultants say, I don't feel so good. And they're posting things and they're like, I'm a little under the weather this weekend. I think I'm going to take the weekend off. And then the next weekend, we see people in the hospital saying, y'all, COVID's real. I'm in the hospital. And then this week that we just had, at the time of your video, there was 7 dead, unfortunately. Yeah. I believe now the last count I heard was 10.
Yes. That's okay. The ones I can confirm that I saw like posts about this person has passed away on their own profile, like not somebody is, the rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. No, these were real, like, please, pray for our family. We've lost so-and-so. They passed away on the state. Real obituary type posts, memorial posts. Just, and I'm sure there are probably more because everybody, I don't know everybody there are 500,000 listed consultants over the time that Paparazzi's been in existence. There's many, many people I'm sure I will not know about, but there's also the secondary and tertiary group of people who are not consultants, but are family, friends, and coworkers of consultants who took that home and got sick. One person posted on my timeline, her 10-week-old granddaughter was in the hospital because her stepmother was a Paparazzi consultant who had gone to convention and brought it back to their house. It's a 10-week-old baby.
Oh my
God. It's all good and well. It's all good and well to give everybody has free will. I acknowledge that all adults have free will in this. Every consultant who attended that convention, he had the choice to go there. Some are
absolutely
vaccinated.
Absolutely. I agreed that too. Everybody has the choice to do what they want to do.
But what I cannot wrap my head around is why a responsible company would put so many lives at risk and have an event and allow 22,000 people to come in without. Even if every single one of them had worn a mask, one sick person can still spread it. And the people without masks, the people taking their masks down for photos, this is what happens at every convention. You don't go to a convention and not take photos. The whole reason you go is to get the specific convention exclusive jewelry you can't get if you don't go, one of the incentives to show up. Second, if you had a ticket, you didn't get your prizes if you didn't show up. Third, you go there to network to make your business look good so you can put it all over social media that this, oh, we have so much fun and we're such a success. You know this is going to happen. This is a predictable outcome. The behavior was completely predictable. Everybody does have free will. Yes, all of the adults should come. But what about the woman that was there with her baby in a baby carrier? The baby didn't have free will and the baby was exposed. The woman who had the baby in the baby carriers, a woman named Mandy Hines. She was my upline in Paparazzi, way up this line. She is one of the most successful consultants in the history of the company. She had a very young infant daughter in a baby Bjorn strapped to her chest at the entire convention. The baby had no mask. I know babies aren't supposed to wear masks, but children are getting sick from the Delta variant. And my understanding, I could be wrong, but she's a nurse. My understanding was she had graduated from nursing school, and here she is with her infant daughter with her face mask off and just hundreds of pictures of her hugging every human because she said, I come to this convention because I wouldn't be here without you. I come here to meet you and support you. I'm here for you. So come and get your picture taken with me and without my, with me without my mask, and here's my baby. She went to the concerts with the baby. She went to photo opportunities with the baby. The baby, okay. Everybody can, you have free will. And I realize parents get to make choices for their kids. There was a baby at this convention. So I just, as a parent, have a hard time watching. I just lose my cool. Yeah. And I wanted so badly just to be, I just wanted to give information. I didn't want to lose my cool when I was speaking about it. Cause I know some people get really turned off and people get emotional, and I wasn't there. My children are not sick, but the whole argument that we were all adults and we all had a choice to come, that baby didn't have a choice.
And I mean, when we talk about the cult aspect of MLM, did they really have a choice? When we see the evidence that they were going to lose their ticket money and be fined for not going, did they really have free will and did they really have a choice? I had a screenshot that I shared of a woman that was talking about how she had said she wasn't going to go, and she was attacked by her upline saying that
she was.
You're fear-mongering the team.
You're scaring my whole team. This is so unnecessary. Okay.
Was yeah, it? And I believe that woman is no longer with Paparazzi. She was talking
I think
about how she
resigned.
Was leaving.
I want to say she resigned. She sent me a note. I've gotten so many notes, Roberta. I feel terrible because I feel like I should say, I want to say the name. There was tons of people who sent positive feedback. And when we did the video and talked about, just the negligence I feel was involved in having this size of an event in a city that is a COVID hotspot. With absolutely no preparation. It was an attend at your own risk. Their waiver said attend at your own risk. We were washing our hands of any responsibility here.
Because they knew what would happen.
Yeah.
They knew what would happen.
Of course
now
they did.
Covering it up. It was a money grab for the cult. They don't care about their consultants. They never have.
It was their 10-year anniversary. It was their 10-year anniversary, and they're such egomaniacs. You must show up for the 10-year anniversary party. How dare you think that we are not more important than your health? How dare you not show up and polish the pink crown with your tears? How dare you not show up?
So on your guys' live, your daughter said that there was like over 10,000 people and that you guys said this was the biggest event that paparazzi's ever had.
So funnily enough, apparently the 10,000 people was wrong. Paparazzi put out a statement that it was a sold out event at 22,000 tickets and it was their biggest event ever. That 22,000 tickets were sold. Now we know everybody did not show up, of course, but 22,000 tickets were sold. The MGM Grand holds thousands and thousands of people, and that arena looked pretty flipping packed in all their videos. So they stated that it was a sellout event and 22,000 tickets were sold. So it was way more than we had even guesstimated. I really didn't think people would go to an event, a live event, during these trying times, but I was really, really wrong.
Okay, so that figure, 22,000, okay, that's how many tickets were sold. And if we're saying there's no refunds, right? And the tickets, we're hearing numbers between like 225 and 275. Well, so we're going to go 250. That seems like a good average.
I did rough math, $6 million. I'm not a mathlete, but I got a calculator.
Yeah, this math at 250, it's 5.5 million just in ticket sales alone.
Then they have exclusive jewelry that's only released at the event, which sold out in seconds, sold out in seconds. So whatever their markup is on that. Thousands and thousands of more dollars created there.
Because the paparazzi consultants are the true customers.
Very few people sell it at parties. So if you sell it live and in person at parties and you show up and people just transact with you cash, that's the ideal situation where maybe you'd make $2.25. But the way we sold it through social selling, where we had to ship it all out and we were leaving it all in our home and storing it until we shipped it out in the mail, we were averaging about 75 cents a piece, which is why we bought in such a large volume to make profit. It was all part of our little, this is how you run an actual business thing that I was trying to teach my kid. Like, listen, the profit is not $2.25. Let's talk about all the costs involved in storing, maintaining, shipping, you know, all of these things we have to do. Plus we have to go live and we got to have equipment for going live and we have to wear makeup to get, we have to wear makeup. Okay. Because you have to look nice. You have to look nice because you have to hold paparazzi's image. So there's all these secondary costs. So to come out of it making 75 cents a piece to make a living wage, I mean, depending on what you need to live in your house, if you need to make $2,500 or $3,000 a month, you got to sell 5,000 pieces, 4,000 pieces of jewelry. I don't know. Really bad at math, Roberta. Why are you making me math, girl?
Because I'm worse at math.
Yeah. Well, let's just say there's a lot.
Well, I just said like maybe $200 a day, but that's 266 pieces a day.
It is. Now, if we would go live,
pieces a day.
If we would go live, we might sell 150 to 200 pieces of jewelry, maybe, but we didn't go live every day. We went live two or three times a week. So we counted on website sales. And this was just for people who sell. So really what you're saying to everybody is, it's hard to make money just selling the jewelry. So what you're supposed to do to make money is recruit. So you get 10% of what everybody buys below you. There's millionaires there who have, you know, make $1 million in a year. They're called seven figure bling bosses.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Six and seven figure bling bosses have made, you know, six and seven figures in 1 year in commission alone from their teams. They get 10% of their first line, 5% of their next line. And then depending on how big their team gets, they get a percentage like all the way down to the bottom.
Right. So how high they rank, they unlock more levels of earning,
they unlock
right?
more levels of, and but they have to have those three legs balanced or they don't get their ultimate unlock. And I just laugh because I started a business to teach my kid how to run a business. I didn't start a business to teach 100,000 other people how to run a business. So when I realized, first of all, I was never going to be a recruiter, we concentrated on just trying to sell, but we were not popular. I went to an event and one of the corporate leadership group, this corporate leader lady who's over these elite consultants, I was never an elite consultant because I didn't have a team. their elite is considered somebody who reaches a certain rank, and I never reached it. She said, what are you going to reach an elite level? And I said, well, I'm never. She goes, what do you mean never? I said, I don't want to recruit. I don't want to manage people. She goes, I don't understand. What? Of course you want to manage people. Of course you want. No. Well, I don't understand this at all. And she just walks away. I'm like, I was speaking French and she didn't understand what I was saying. I'm like, I don't want to manage people. I felt like if I brought them into the company, I was responsible for their success. And if I was telling them I was making money and you can too, because I have a sense of ethics and personal morality, I didn't want to lie. I'm like, listen, we make money, but we work really hard and here's how we do it. So over the life of my paparazzi 3.5-year career, 56 separate people had joined my team or their downline, 56 separate people. Only about 20 of them were ever active. And when they didn't make money, they quit. And I was like, girl, I totally understand. If you're not making money and you don't want to do the things we're doing, I get it. But then I had people who made a whole lot of money. There were people who opened up storefronts and sold it like it was a little gift shop. It was just jewelry. People who sold it subcontracted in hair salons and boutiques, they did fine. But everybody doesn't make money. And I wasn't going to try to tell somebody, well, you should buy more. That's how you'll make money. Buy more jewelry. Clearly the stuff you have is not the best stuff. If you just buy more, no. Because the leadership says every single piece is marketable. It's all beautiful. Somebody's going to love it. If it doesn't sell now, it'll eventually sell. Well, sure, no. If I put it out on the street corner and say, this is all yours for a buck, sure, somebody's going to take it.
Tracy, but it isn't. You're just not getting it in front of the right eyes. That's eyes it. Are out there. You just enough. Have to find them.
Don't you? You should work harder. You should work harder. You're not working hard enough. Did you sleep last night?
How many parties are you having a week, Tracy? Only two? Because you should be having five. That's why you're not successful.
Yeah. So having all this free time to spend with my family completely eaten up by marketing your crap. Yeah. This time and freedom, they try to tell me you can work from home a few hours a week from your phone and make all this money. You can replace your, no, you cannot. It's a job. It's hard. And if you own your own business, if you really own your own business, you are never off of work. But if you work for a network marketing company, you also don't own your own business. So like, you've got all the perks. You've got all the pain of having to run your own business, but none of the perks of like making your own schedule or not having people breathing down your neck.
So for you being so educated and being, you know, a tax attorney and all of this stuff, at what point in your paparazzi journey did you realize, oh shit, this isn't actually a business?
I made money until the day I left selling their jewelry. I made money. It just wasn't very much money. I did not operate at a loss. I realized early on that the only way to make a substantial amount of money there was with sheer volume of transactions turning over. But I also figured out right away that the only people who were going to maintain sales for me at that level were other consultants. So I made it my business to get on every day at the time that new dropped and purchase the things that I knew would be great. First, I'd go buy 100 of things because you were allowed to buy up to 100. Then they reduced the amount to 50, and I was still buying 50 of everything because I knew that there were people who were not going to get that jewelry and they'd buy it from me. But my feeling was, if you're that, I guess, indoctrinated that you must buy only these five pieces out of the 100 on the website are going to be marketable. If you really believe that, then you're my target audience. Like, I quit trying to market to anybody outside of the business. I was really like a middleman because that's the only way to make money. You can either recruit hundreds and hundreds of people and then leave them to their own devices knowing they're not going to be successful, or you can learn right away to be the paparazzi middleman. I was the middle market for paparazzi, and so is every other big selling consultant. They're not selling to end users. Some of them will have hundreds of people on a live show watching, and 75-80% of them are other consultants just trying to buy.
Absolutely.
Because 100%. They can't get it themselves.
Yeah, that's how it was in LuLaRoe too. I can't even tell you how many times. I would have friends, like consultant friends come over. They're like, oh, are you getting new boxes today? I'm going to be by your house. Can I come and see what you got? Can I have first picks? And they would pay full price. They'd be like, oh my God, this is a unicorn. I will definitely pay full price for this.
Yeah, everything's a unicorn. Yeah,
right out of the box, paying me full price before anybody else had seen it. My downline, my own team.
But yeah, that's encouraged. So you don't even feel bad because you're like, it's a live and let die kind of situation. The strong survive because the strong can get on at 3 o'clock and the strong got good Wi-Fi. So the strong are getting all, and the weak with the weak Wi-Fi and the weak cell signal, you're paying full price. You better get better Wi-Fi.
I swear, man. I'm in the middle of like making merch for my store that I'm going to open eventually one day. And I swear, like, I feel like the strong have good Wi-Fi is like,
yes,
the best thing I've ever heard. That's so funny.
What makes a top consultant and paparazzi? I'm like, good Wi-Fi. You will never be a success if you cannot get the 5 unicorn pieces a day that sell out in within the first, you will get on at 3 o'clock and at 3:02, there's nothing to be seen that you want because you know the rest of it. So the owner fancies herself a designer and she tells everybody at the convention that she personally designs all of this jewelry. Okay, so there's thousands of pieces that go through every day. First of all, it's not true because we found that out pretty immediately after getting canceled, that we Googled jewelry wholesalers and found about 6 Chinese websites with all the lookalike jewelry. I'm like,
absolutely. Oh,
they better get over there and get their trademark infringement case going because this jewelry looks exactly like these specially designed pieces. Wink, yeah. Right?
They're like, oh my gosh, the Chinese websites are copying us.
I know. That's the best.
It's counterfeit paparazzi. I'm like, paparazzi's $5. We don't need counterfeit paparazzi.
Like, first of all, I'm pretty sure that those people at, it's ChineseJewelry.com decided themselves or stole it from some real jewelry designer and knocked it off like they do right after the Oscars when they make all those dresses and all of a sudden they're available on Wish. Like, good luck, people. Good luck. It's not that special. It's not, they say it's nickel and lead free, but we've seen all the people do the tests on the jewelry that show that it does have nickel content and lead content. Like, come on. For $5, what do you expect? What do you expect? And people, well, I expect them not to lie about it. If you want to talk about having an affordable price, then don't lie. If it's affordable, why are you lying?
Isn't it amazing when like the cult is like, it's amazing jewelry. And the followers are like, it's amazing jewelry. And then someone's like, it made my neck turn green. And they're like, you're just a hater. And you're like, no,
they're like, that's your personal pH, ma'am. That's your personal pH.
Your pH is off. You should detox. I have a shake
but we can't tell you about another company that would have a detox prep because that's the other thing in the cult of paparazzi. You may not ever speak about anybody else's business, period. We've had people document to us. They were canceled over selling Girl Scout cookies. They were one of them for selling her own car. Cause if you advertise paparazzi jewelry on your personal social media profile, you may never mention another business. During the pandemic, they sent around a notification that said that if you are doing excessive cooking demonstrations, it may make people believe that you are attempting to create another line of business and you could potentially be canceled. Like, you're going to cancel me over my tuna noodle casserole? Okay. It's pretty good, but I'm saying, I'll keep it to myself. God forbid we share the mac and cheese our 4-year-old will actually eat. Like,
cancel.
Don't do it. Yeah, haters. Another top consultant and paparazzi just got canceled a couple of months ago because she has a clothing business. She had a whole separate page for it, but somebody shared it onto her jewelry page thinking they were helping her. Paparazzi canceled her because her other business was being marketed on her jewelry page. They canceled her. No recourse. She's also banned for life.
I'm curious what paparazzi's compliance budget is.
So I got a letter today. From their attorney's office stating that I was using their forbidden stock photos and I had to cease and desist that. So
proprietary information.
Uh-huh. They're very valuable. But the funny thing was they referenced the wrong business name at the bottom. They referenced somebody else's business. So I wrote her note. I'm like, hey, did you get a letter from paparazzi's attorney's office talking about you were using letters? She's like, yeah, how'd you know? I'm like, because they put your business name on my letter.
They forgot to copy paste your name off of it.
Yeah, but I was laughing because I'm pretty sure that they've got their own personal paralegal. The funny thing is they take stock photos. They don't understand that the rest of us were at their corporate office, saw exactly what their stock photo setup is. It's literally a white screen and a piece of poster board and these two large square camp lights that light it up and then a picture. We take our own pictures. We have the same side. It's a light box. It's a light box with a white background. It's literally a piece of jewelry in a light box with a white background. That's their very valuable stock photos. I take my own. I bought a light box. It's from Amazon. It's like $36.
So they're getting mad at you because they think you're using their stock photos, but yes, they're your own photos you took in a light box.
Yes. Because I'd already gotten a cease and desist letter that said I wasn't allowed to use their stock photos. I'm like, okay, well, it's not that hard to take a picture in a light box. I'm going to go ahead and get my own light box. But these are just obviously our logos with the logo, our photos with the logo removed. I'm like, oh, you're so cute and stupid, but cute. I'm not going to.
I mean, you're a lawyer. What do they think?
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't think they do. I think that thinking is above all of their pay grades. They are wait to be told what to think, and nobody told them what. Somebody told them to think that, so they all did. They're literally, if you go to our website and look at our jewelry, it's literally pieces of jewelry on a white background.
Yeah, no, I did. I did a TikTok.
It's a piece of foam board from the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, I did a TikTok on paparazzi and I was like, let's see what the jewelry at the top of the website is. And I just scrolled down and I was like, this is all, you know, not cute. And someone commented and she's like, well, you're only showing the ugly stuff. And I'm like, I'm literally showing what the website is showing.
Because you're not a consultant and all that's left is that stuff, right? The cute stuff got sold at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 1 o'clock Mountain. 1 o'clock Mountain. Mountain. 1 o'clock Mountain. You got to climb that mountain. Oh, it just made me laugh. It makes me laugh. This is clearly our photo with the logo removed. I'm like, wow.
Clearly.
Clearly. I'm like, so nobody else has a light box. Nobody no else has a, no. has a black bust or a white.
No one has nobody. This ability but us. No, nobody.
We are magical. We're sent down by the same Jesus that anointed us all. That's the other thing.
With our oils. Yeah.
With our oils. We are anointed by oils, but not any other corporate oil. We don't talk about other companies with oil. We don't speak of this. They do a lot of religious shilling at their events. They have a lot of religious speakers and they have a lot of talk about how they're called by, you know, their God. And I say their God because I'm pretty sure my sky daddy doesn't like that kind of crap. So I'm like, not the same.
But they are not a cult. No. We are going to train you at the 3 o'clock meeting that's called We Are Not a Cult and how to tell people we are not a cult. And it is taught by all of the best people that know all of the best things. So you better be there.
Exactly.
No other industry but multi-level marketing teaches their people what to say when people ask, is this a cult or a pyramid scheme? No, just MLMs. Just MLMs.
And here's why it is not. We have a list. Girl,
you were just so much fun.
We survived, girl. We survived. We're still here.
I hope everyone listening to us is laughing right now and not going, oh my God, they both have lost their shit.
I can't, if you can't laugh about like the mistakes you've made in your life, and move on because we all learn something from it. What I have learned is that I am not a good compliant. I'm not a compliant person. I'm not compliant. I cannot keep a positive attitude at a sponsored event. I don't have a positive attitude. I really thoroughly enjoy the freedom that I have from actually owning my own business. And honestly, there are two things I will say, maybe even three, that I think are positive. Number one, I did identify a business that my kid loves because now we have our own private jewelry brand and we're still selling jewelry and she's running it herself. She's 17. She's doing a great job picking out her own products. She finances her own purchases. She does her own marketing. All the things I wanted her to learn, she did. She didn't learn it there, but she learned it, period. I was right about one thing. She does love jewelry and she still loves it and she's having a great time. The second thing I learned was that there's an entire industry that is based on tricking people into believing what the fact sheets that they put out actually state the complete opposite of, because they all have to have these income statements, income disclosure statements, but there's an entire industry dedicated to telling you that even though they're required by law to put out an income disclosure statement, you will be the exception to that because somehow you will be the magical one and everybody believes it. I didn't think that there was an industry that was so completely false in their marketing techniques that the government would allow to stay open, but somehow they all still, by putting an asterisk and saying CR income disclosure statement, get away with lying to hundreds and hundreds of people every day, all day long. That was interesting because it kind of led me to a new career path, and that is helping educate people that what they think is their own business is not really their own business. And now when people leave those and want to start their own business, I actually have a whole new business in helping them start real businesses for themselves. It was a career path I did not expect to go into, and I love it so much. It's so much more set. So I used to be a tax attorney, and doing taxes, super boring. It's just super boring. I mean, I liked it because I'm a nerd, but still super boring. No one wanted to talk to me at cocktail parties. Like, so what do you do? Taxes. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. I think my mom is calling. Mom, do you hear something?
Wait, someone just said my name. I'll be right back.
Exactly. And now I literally get to help people form real businesses. I help them with trademarks. I help them incorporate themselves. I help them get their business licenses. I help them do their bookkeeping. I like teach people real business skills so they can be entrepreneurs and they can run their own businesses. And they're so, it's so much more empowering. It is so much more empowering, especially recovering MLMers. And I say recovering because I won't work with anybody anymore that is actually in a multi-level marketing business, because I used to, when I was with Paparazzi, one of the elite leaders had me come to her house for a weekend and I incorporated like 100 people in her downline in one weekend. I just sat there and incorporated like one every 15 minutes. I just incorporated all these women. Like, it's not going to do you any good though, because you're not really your own business, but I'll do your paperwork, girl. Sure. Now I won't do it anymore because I'm like, yeah, you realize that you're not actually a business, right? You're a 1099 independent contractor. You don't own your own business. Anyway, I have a whole new career path, and I'm not saying I'm happy. I'm saying that I feel like this cloud had a silver lining for me. And I feel like your cloud did too, because now you are doing this and your podcast is amazing and reaches, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And whatever we can do, you know, whatever we can do to help people who really go into these businesses wanting to be business people and give their families a good life. We're both helping them in our own way do something that we didn't know we were supposed to do before. So that's cool. The whole path to getting here was pretty rocky, but the outcome of it, like, if this is what we're supposed to do, we're doing it, girl. We're doing it. So high five to you, and hashtag we're banned for life. We got our own club
now. Hashtag banned for life. Yeah. I think it's amazing. One, I definitely want to link your daughter's jewelry business in the show notes so people can support her actual real jewelry business instead of Paparazzi. And also you. I want to promote your business as well. That's incredible. I know so many women who are leaving MLM and saying, I can do this on my own, who are so clueless and have no idea where to start. And you are the perfect resource for that.
That's what I'm doing. I love it. I feel like I get chills. Like, I really love it. I love it.
I will say, I'm probably going to need your help here pretty soon as well, but I'm going to tell you, I love the side effect of this podcast of meeting people like you who are doing things to help others, and who you'll be able to connect with so many people that are listening to this right now and going, oh my God, I need to talk to Tracy. She knows exactly what I'm going to need.
Yes, I do. And I learned it the hard way. So come on, take a shortcut. Let me help. Honestly, yes. Like, I consider myself the shortcut to like making all the mistakes on your own. Like, anybody can do it themselves, but let's help each other. Let's shortcut it for people who really
absolutely
want to concentrate on the business of doing business and not on the business of paperwork. So that's my whole calling now, is just to help other people get who've gotten, you know, caught in the web of MLM. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is the rainbow at the end of the storm. I'm the silver lining, baby. I should have named my business Silver Lining instead of what I did, but it's all right.
Hey, it's great. It's wonderful. Okay. So rapid fire questions at the end of this.
Okay.
It'll ask some questions. Whatever comes to mind, just spit it out. All right.
Okay.
One word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Cult.
Me too. A warning to somebody who wants to join an MLM.
Look at the income disclosure statement. When it says that 70% of people make this little amount of money and only 0.01% of anybody is making a living wage, believe it.
Absolutely. You better believe it, guys. You know better by now. You better believe it.
I hope.
Worst MLM in your opinion, Tracy?
Worst MLM in my opinion. That new dirt eating one. Boo.
Oh my God.
The new dirt eating MLM is the worst in history because people are actually paying to eat dirt. And I was astounded by that. As much as I think paparazzi is gross, I'm sorry, but conning people into eating dirt, that is solidly sick. I'm sorry. They were.
Have you seen how small those bags of dirt are?
No, because I literally just heard about it like 3 days ago. People are like, what? They're like, boo this, boo that. I'm like, boo. It's Halloween.
Boo
what?
Is woo. Boo is poo. boo is not good. Huh? Yeah, it's 60,000-year-old bog dirt from Canada, just downwind from the waste treatment facility. So.
Oh, yeah. That 60,000-year-old dirt has a half-life because it's radioactive. But eat this. You'll feel so much better or you'll die.
And they claim it's vegan. And I was like, how do you know it's vegan? Like, what if a woolly mammoth fell in there 60,000 years ago?
Decomposing in it all the time. Anyway, girl, I think they win.
Uh-huh. Honestly. I was looking up, I was like, what is fulvic acid anyway? Fulvic acid is the byproduct left behind of organic matter decomposing. So it's like compost. You know, it's compost.
I'm super jealous. I could probably just go outside and lick my backyard and get the same effect, but I have dogs.
You would probably get parasites that way too.
Super. I heard you can lose weight with a mess. That's a nice side effect. Like I lost, I seriously, I missed diet, but I'm down like 18 pounds.
I just like ate this dirt with a tapeworm in it and look how good I look now.
I'm so skinny. His name's Jacob. We're friends.
Oh yeah. God.
They win.
You and Jacob the tapeworm, hardest lesson you guys learned in MLM.
That you cannot teach other people to have, you cannot teach other, even to learn from your own mistakes, you cannot teach other people, they have to experience for themselves. Because I have been talking about how hard this business is, but nobody wanted to believe it was hard. They only wanted to believe that they could win the prizes that I'd been pranced across the stage to win. And even though I tried very hard to be blunt, they didn't want to hear it. They only wanted to believe the shiny. And you cannot convince somebody who's looking for shiny that light at the end of the tunnel is the train. You cannot convince them of that. Or not everyone anyway. People go into it with such high hopes and such amazing expectations. And it is almost impossible to meet them. And I'm not saying miracles don't happen and some people don't make money, but it wasn't for me. I mean, it wasn't a miracle for me. So.
And at what cost, right?
And I'm
what
a reasonable cost person.
Are you the 1%?
Yeah. And I'm a reasonable person. So I feel like, you know, I went into it with my eyes open and was very practical about our approach to things. And I still couldn't convince people that my success was not replicatable without the same steps that I took. And they didn't want to hear that. They just wanted the magic. They always want this, you know, what are you doing? What's your best piece of advice? Learn how to keep your books so that you're actually analyzing where you're making money. Like pay attention to the accounting. Well, how do you get people to join you in business? I'm like, I don't. Yeah. Anyway, that was the hardest lesson, that you just cannot even giving people all the proof, they still want to believe the magic. They want so hard to believe the magic is real. And that was very, That was a very hard lesson to learn.
And then lastly, which you've already covered a little bit, but a positive takeaway from your time in MLM.
I feel like because of my legal background, I really had no idea that that entire business structure existed, and that it existed to such an extent in the United States. I had no idea that there were people out there being taken advantage of by that level, multi-level marketing businesses. I didn't know they existed. And now I feel like out of that, I have a new calling to both help educate and help people who really do want to run a business, but have been damaged by that, learn how to open a business. Like I have a whole new calling from that. I feel like I have all these years of experience, my own personal experiences included in that, that I'm not just giving them advice. I can be sympathetic, but I can also be empathetic because I've been through it. And I would not have even known that this happened every day to people if I had not experienced it myself, because I don't believe enough people are talking about this marketing scheme that these companies get away with legally every day and are not stopped by the government. It's amazing to me that they regulate all these other areas of our life, but that this area is still just running rampant. And I would never have known that I needed to educate people had I not been in it myself, because it just didn't enter my world. I didn't know anybody that did it. And I will say that that's the positive takeaway, that now I know what all the purpose of my experience was, is to just help educate and prevent it from happening to people multiple times. That's what I feel like it is. And I know that sounds corny. I also have a necklace named after me and a bunch of crowns, which, you know, I didn't have crowns before. So I guess that's a nice takeaway. I mean, I could have bought them myself at Charming Charlie's, but no, I had to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get a free crown. So now I got crowns. I mean, I'm just saying, I know everybody's jealous. I mean, try to hold back. Don't turn
very fancy. Yeah, I also have fancy. A crown right here. I wore it on TikTok the other day.
Does it turn your neck green? Like
my, no, oh, it's made out of felt and plastic.
I was going to say, you want to end this on a funny note? That fancy necklace that they named after me, the Tracy, turns my neck green every time I wear it. But that's my problem. It's my personal pH.
So. Sounds like you need a detox, hun.
I do, but I mean, can you recommend one? What about some boo?
Sounds like you need to be on the boo, girl.
I'm scared.
Seriously, you guys, do not join those boo groups unless you want to see strangers poop.
That happened
to me the other day, and I'm not over it yet.
I am not okay. I am not okay. God.
Yeah.
If you don't laugh, so gross. You
right. I say that all the time. If I don't laugh, I cry. So we just laugh. I mean, it's a total circus. And I am thankful for the circus, because the circus allows me to meet wonderful people like you.
Yes. I don't know how in the world we would have met otherwise. So I am grateful. That's a nice,
but you know, I feel like we were destined to meet, because you are hilarious and you're right on the same mission with me of just educating people and letting them know so that they can make better decisions for themselves and their
families.
Like,
I don't know if you shared you our video, but I am grateful to whoever tagged you. That was totally awesome, because I really appreciate getting to connect with you too. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about, let's call it paparazzi. I don't know. Along our boo line.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tracy, for sharing your story. And
you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thanks for all the work this. You do.
And yes, you know, it's my pleasure. It's hard, but like you said, you know, it's worth it. It's hard, but it's worth it.
I believe it.
And I will say on a sad note, because we did talk about the paparazzi super spreader event, I am already starting to see screenshots of people coming back from the Prove It convention they had last weekend, I think was. And they are also coming down with COVID, and looking at pictures from posts earlier, the posts of the people they tagged, and then looking at those people's posts, those people also have COVID. And so it looks like Prove It may be the next super spreader. And so I'm just telling people again, you have free choice. You can do what you want, but remember that your choices do have consequences, and sometimes they're not.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.